You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome to The Fader Interview. I'm Alex Robert Ross, editorial director of The Fader. In the spring of 2020, Ash Gutierrez was a 15-year-old kid attending school via Zoom classes from his bedroom in Hendersonville, North Carolina, population 13,000. In the 18 months since, he's released two EPs as Glaive, amassed millions of plays on SoundCloud, and signed a deal with Interscope Records. He's traveled to Los Angeles to record with Travis Barker and Nick Mira, been boosted by Lana Del Rey on Instagram, and become the de facto prince of the hyperpop scene, even if his music reaches beyond such straightforward genre conventions. What's most impressive, though, is how quickly he's grown as a songwriter and musician. His new EP, All Dogs Go to Heaven, is hooky but deft, a project that pulls from Midwest emo, arena pop, and SoundCloud rap. It features a frantic acoustic guitar-led song about romantic frustration and a soaring ballad about human imperfections. Gutierrez himself might put that down to his ADD, but either way, it's thrilling to think about where he might go from here. Given that he witnessed his first concert a few weeks ago and played his own first show the day after, it's clear that Gutierrez is still getting to grips with that himself. It'll be even tougher to do when he goes back to school in person in Hendersonville again next week. Earlier this week, I caught up with Glaive to talk about his unexpected rise to fame through lockdown, the way his process has changed as he's gone from his bedroom in North Carolina to studios in LA, and his mum's favourite song on All Dogs Go to Heaven. Where are you right now?
I am in Los Angeles. Well, like right now, I'm in a living room. But normally I'd be in North Carolina, but I'm in LA for my, like, you know, stuff came out. I was like, shit, let's do this. I'm rehearsing for other stuff. So LA's the best place to be, but I go back pretty soon.
Who are you with in LA?
Right now I'm at my manager's house, but I'm staying at an Airbnb, like sleeping at an Airbnb with another artist named Eric DOA. And it's been super fun. So yeah, but right now at my manager's house.
Must be fun to be roommates with Eric again.
Yeah, I love that guy. Like, I wake up and I leave because I wake up at like 8 o'clock. Those motherfuckers wake up at like 1 o'clock. So I'm already gone before. So I see them like every night. It's super cool. They're wonderful people. And yeah, it's been super fun.
This is your second time in LA?
It is my second time in LA. Yes, yes, yes.
So first time you were around, you were recording with like Travis Barker, Nick, people like that. What was that, a few months ago now?
Yeah, that was like before summer, so that was like 3-4 months ago.
Coming from Hendersonville, it sounded like that was a pretty crazy experience for you, like getting to see a lot of people and a lot of things for the first time, like going into big studios and really working on stuff. Does it feel different now?
It's still pretty crazy every time. The first time obviously was nuts, like that was like when I was first ever meeting people in real life. But I'd say this trip has been crazier. Everything has just been a little like bigger, I suppose. LA is like the polar opposite of my hometown. Like not much really goes on there. Everyone's like pretty calm and chill. Like Hendersonville, it definitely sleeps at night. Like LA, I feel like it's on go. Like you could get an Uber at any time, DoorDash at any time. But Hendersonville's just not like that.
Tell me about Hendersonville, because your closest city is Asheville, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hendersonville is it's a wonderful, quaint little town. My parents moved there when I was like 10. I'm personally not the hugest fan of it, just because not much really goes on. It's kind of a weird place to be a teenager. But it's a beautiful place, like nature-wise, aesthetic-wise, it's freaking beautiful. But like I said, it's kind of slow.
Yeah. I know that you got a lot of your musical education from the radio and then by like drilling down on SoundCloud. But when you were growing up, and you spent the first like 9-10 years of your life in Florida, but when you were growing up, was there live music around you? Were you ever going out to shows with your friends playing music?
Definitely not. So I actually had never been to a show. And the first show I ever went to was like a few weeks ago, was Playboi Carti. So it was cool. I'd never seen live music up until like recently. there was like never any live shows in Hendersonville. Nothing I really wanted to see. I'm sure there were. I just really wasn't paying attention. I'm not like a big like country bluegrass type of music fan, so I'm not gonna go see that type of show. But yeah.
Wait, your first show was a Playboi Carti show a few weeks ago.
Yeah, it was crazy. We were like in this like different area because I don't know, we were just in a different area, and he like walks up and gets on top of the camera booth and like starts performing his songs. I'm like, this guy's fucking nuts. He's wearing like a Donda mask. I was like, whoa, this guy's crazy. It was super sick to see though. He's fucking amazing.
That's like a real trial by fire though, man. You didn't start off slow. You just went straight into a Playboi Carti show.
Nah, it was, yeah. He had it going crazy. He was playing like he just played basically the whole lot of Red. Like he just played a whole lot of Red. I just said the whole lot of Red. He just played a whole lot of Red. And it was like, holy fuck. And he played Shooter. He played some of his classics. He didn't play Magnolia, which was like, damn, that kind of sucks. But he definitely played some of his classics. So I was happy. Everyone's going crazy. It was awesome. He just screams like on the microphone. He just goes, yeah. I'm like, for real.
Do you get to meet him afterwards?
Oh, definitely not. I would be so scared. I don't know how I would handle meeting Playboi Carti.
Wait, so how close was you seeing your first ever concert to you performing your first ever concert?
Like, probably like 6 days.
Shit.
Well, so I played a pop-up like a few days ago for my EP coming out. But before that, we were at this like party thing. I don't know. I don't really know what classifies as a party, but we were there. They're playing music, and this guy named Zach Bia, who's like a music person, just a general internet person. And he was like, "Do you want to do a song?" So I was like, that was actually the first time I'd ever like sung live in front of people, but that wasn't like a performance. It was just one song. So, but that was like, I saw Playboi Carti, and then that was the next day. So that was pretty crazy. And then like 3 days later, we got back, and then 2 days later, the pop-up was. So it was like, yeah, I'd say like 6 days. So it was like watching, performing.
That's wild. I've seen you say before that you used to like do Justin Bieber songs in the mirror and stuff. Like you definitely like, you had that, like that childhood pop star kind of thing. But like when you're on stage for the first time, you've only been to one live show. Do you feel pretty free when you're up there? Was it kind of a natural thing that you got up there and you were just like, it was just adrenaline?
Yeah. Well, the first like little performance, like the one song, was like, I had no idea what I was doing. I was just like going like this. And then for the pop up, I was watching my friends perform, and I was like, wow, that's super sick. And I was definitely like thinking about it a little more. But at the end of the day, I was doing whatever. Like I don't know, it sounds kind of corny, but like what my heart or like soul was like doing. I was just kind of like, I wasn't really thinking about it. And looking back, it was kind of just a blur. Like I don't really remember any specific moments. I like have little pictures of what was going on, but it was all just like, I was super fucking hyped up. I got a bottle of water and I drank it and I thought this was so cool. I like threw the water on it, and there was some really amazing moments though. This necklace, someone was like, I need you to have this necklace on stage. They were like handing it to me. So I still have it. My mom is calling me. I'm going to just hold on one second.
No, of course,
let me text her that I'll call it. I'll call you. Sorry.
It's totally fine. It's kind of perfect, honestly, Ash. It's kind of perfect that your mom is texting you.
Yeah, so I got this. I got a ring. I'm not actually wearing it right now. Very sorry. But I was wearing it like all week. I have that. Somebody threw me a hat. This girl got on stage. She was like, I'm leaving in like 20 minutes. Can I please get a picture? I was like, okay. I was not going to be like, you can't get on the stage. So she was on stage. It was crazy. But like I said, like I don't really remember the whole thing. I just remember like specific moments. So, but it was like the best experience of my life. Probably the best night of my life was that pop-up show.
I guess you're now starting to realize, like, even though you've got like data and analytics to back it up, you're now starting to really see what's happened over the last year and a half, right? Like people are actually showing love to you like in person.
Definitely. That was the crazy thing was, so we posted about it. Like I just posted on my story, and my friends just posted on their story, and we were like, I hope like people come. It was like a 150 person venue, which is like, was like, I don't know if we're going to get 150 people in here. We had like 600 people in there, and they were like, you can't have any more people in here. Like you can't. So there were like people in the alley, like by the side watching it. It was crazy. It was like, holy fuck. I didn't realize that like this many people were like here. Like I didn't know. Like every like I have like I posted about it on Twitter and people were like, I wish I could be there. It was like nobody was like, I'm gonna be there. But there were just a fuck ton of people. It was crazy. we had this wall that had like canvas on it and people were writing on it, and the whole wall is like full, like top to bottom, with people's like text. People wrote stuff, people drew. It was just it was amazing to see. Like see people in real life for like the first time. It was crazy.
That's brilliant. Is it even a year and a half since you released your first song on SoundCloud? Must be now, right?
Yeah, it's getting close to probably a year and a half. Like SoundCloud, yeah, probably a year and a half. And then Spotify, I think I started, put my first song in there in June. So it's a little, it's like a year and a bit. But my first like real like releasing stuff was like last November. So it's getting close to like a full year since I've like been really like going for it.
I mean, I think your fade at Gen F was already a year ago. It must have been before you had anything on Spotify.
It was a real long time ago. I remember that. That was super crazy.
It's very easy to talk about the fact you've had a really, really quick rise. You were making music even if you weren't sharing it before the pandemic, right?
Definitely. I wasn't like making like songs, really. I was trying to make beats. And I was also just really into music. And then when like the pandemic started, I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna actually like try to make good songs. And then progressively, I just got better at it. But I would say up until like Cypress Grove is when I started really like enjoying the stuff that I was making and putting out. And I was really proud of it. And then recently, like All Dogs Go to Heaven has been like truly something that I'm like a really big, just a fan of in general.
I mean, going back to those early things you were doing, you said before that you had the time, you were only doing like 4 hours of Zoom classes, right? So now you had the time to focus on your music, but what gave you the confidence in those early months of lockdown, or early weeks of lockdown, to say like, no, fuck it, I'm going to share this. Like people can hear it now, I don't care.
I made friends with some people that made music, and seeing them put it out and seeing people like it, was like, fuck it, I'm going to do it too. At first it was definitely like false confidence because it kind of sucked, but then over time like the confidence I had slowly but surely like matched the level of the music that I was making, and I think recently I've been like confident and the music has been like confident as well, so it's been a cool like coming together of stuff.
One thing about Cypress Grove though was it did seem like a really confident record. I mean, you were still 15 when you put that out, right?
Yeah. It came out like what, November 2020. So yeah, I was 15.
That's, I mean, to me, like I'm twice your age, and that's really, this is probably the oldest I've ever felt. I'm sure you're hearing that a lot from people. But
yeah, definitely like a lot of music people, they'll be like, damn. Cause it's not like I'm like 16, almost 17. It's like I'm 15. I'm 16, was 15, which is the crazy part.
Yeah, it's pretty upsetting for me. It's like watching a kid like who could be my child play for my favorite football team, and I'm like, I'm probably never going to play for that football team now. That's probably it for me. I'm dumb. Yeah. So what was the moment like? I remember, you know, Fader put Astrid, I think, at 7 on our songs of the year, and I was really stoked about that. And then Vice put it at number 4. There were all these moments on that run you had up to, I guess, up to All Dogs, but up to the start of this year. Was there a moment when you realized that it was spinning a little bit out of control?
Honestly, then no, because I mean, I was still just in my bedroom. Like I wasn't going outside. I'd say only recently I've been like, damn, especially with All Dogs Go to Heaven, because it came out, I think, 4 days ago. So now this is what I feel like, this project is the one that's like spinning stuff, not out of control, but like it's definitely like Cypress Grove was like this. Hold up. This is an audio interview. Let me explain it audioly. The Cypress Grove was like, and then All Those Go Home is like, bow. Like that doesn't like, that's kind of the best way to explain it, to, in my opinion. But it's just a lot bigger. Cypress Grove, again, was just in North Carolina, recorded everything in my bedroom. And I didn't go outside, but like this one, it's like I'm in LA, I'm getting recognized on the street. We had a huge pop-up with like a fuck ton of people. Some really crazy shit happened. It was just like, it's definitely a lot more like feasible or like real. But yeah, I'd say that's only happened recently.
You spent a lot of this year collaborating with other artists, like Eric DOA. You did that single with Ren for short. And now that's a big part of All Dogs. you know, working with a bunch of different producers in studio, like getting different people's opinions on your work. Was that a difficult transition at first, going from doing everything in Hendersonville to going big?
Well, at first, the first time I went to a studio was with Nick Mira, and at first they had like an engineer, and I was like, holy fuck. But then I realized, like, music, like, if you go to a studio, they're there for you. Like, so I record everything, like every song on All Dogs Go to Heaven, every song I make now is all recorded on my laptop. This laptop I'm doing the interview on has every single song. I record them all myself. I engineer them all myself. The only thing I don't do now is like make the beats, because like Nick Mira and all of them, they're all like crazy at it. So I'm going to let them do what they're amazingly talented at. I actually, not to give myself too much credit, but I've been making a few beats recently. I have a few songs on like my produced stuff. I'm pretty happy with them. But I still do everything the same. The setup that I like record everything on is the same as it is in my bedroom. So it's not really any different. It's just you're in a studio, but I'm still recording it all myself. I'm still mixing it all myself. I'm still doing all that. So yeah.
Have you had to be more assertive around people in the studio and saying like, no, you know what, this is the sound that I want to go for here, and like, I'm sticking to my guns?
Definitely. That's a common thing, because like you'll walk into like a session or something and people will like try to make like hyper pop. I just did quotations in there. I know this is an audio thing. I kind of have to be like, no, I don't do like the big EDM shit as much anymore. I want it to all be like really tasteful and really cool. But I've realized that that's what people want. Like, they want you to be like, this is what I want to do. And recently, I've just been like, every single session I've been to, it's always just been like, this is what I want to do. I have a few ideas. Let's do this. I want the beat to sound like this. Make it build here. Yeah, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I've been, and All Dogs was the first thing where I was like, I want it to sound like this. And then, especially recently, like post All Dogs Go to Heaven dropping, I've just been like, I know exactly what I want to do. I have a lot of ideas. Do it exactly this way.
It's interesting to hear you say like tasteful, and then with like pulling your music back a little bit away from the super glitchy stuff. And there are more acoustic textures on this record. I mean, there was a lot of that on Cypress Grove as well, but like take a song like All Dogs Go to Heaven, like the title track from this EP. All dogs go to heaven, other people don't, because we're selfish. All dogs go to heaven. You must be listening to a lot of stuff that came out before you were even born. Like, what are the sounds that to you speak to something that is quote unquote like tasteful? Where are those acoustic textures coming from?
Honestly, there's never really anything that I can like point to and be like, this is the type of shit I wanted to make. Because I feel like that in if you do that, then you're just somebody else. Like, you're not making your own music. So I feel like everything has kind of come together. And like you said, the outro track was just like, I want to make something that's like beautiful. And I had the idea to make a song that said All Does Go to Heaven in it. And I was like, I want to make like a title track, outro type of vibe. And the person that did the guitar, Zach Greer, who's also an amazingly talented artist, was just there with his guitar. And he was playing it, and it was beautiful. And I was never like, I want to make this song sound like that. I was just like, everything that I enjoy and everything that I think is really cool kind of all pushes together, and then I do it my own way. That's what I normally do.
Why did you want to make a song called All Dogs Go to Heaven?
Well, I think the idea is super sick, like All Dogs Go to Heaven. I think it's a really cool like sentence in general. So I was like, okay, let's do that. And then I think that the idea, like the All Dogs Go to Heaven, but the people don't because we're selfish, was a really cool line. So I was like, fuck it. And then it like ties the project really well together. So I'm really happy with that one.
Do you think it's fair to say that there's even a little bit more anger on this album? And it's not all directed outwards. There are some moments where you're like pretty upset with yourself here. Like, to test me would be the obvious one. Detest me. There's a couple hundred people wanna hurt me. If you ever need a thing, promise you'll text me. They wanna put a hundred shots into my chest. Please defend me. Detest me. There's a couple hundred people wanna hurt me. If you ever need a thing, promise you'll text me. They wanna put a
It's very emotional, which I feel like has been a strong point of my music always. But this one, I've just improved a lot recently with like expressing what I'm actually trying to say, like words wise. That was kind of a dumb explanation, but like lyrically, I've been able to like say exactly what I want to say. Also, I want to say this. This is kind of a rant, but like I write all my own songs completely by myself. Like every single word in these songs are by me. I hate when people on fucking Twitter tell me, he doesn't write his own songs. I sit there for like time trying to write these motherfuckers. So I would like to be like, I write the shit. So that's why it's like, it's me. And like, I think I've said this in interviews before, but like, I'm a pretty like happy person. You can kind of tell just from talking to me right now. I'm not like super like, why? But when I'm making music, if I'm angry or if I'm like upset about something, it just goes into that song and then I'm completely fine. So that's what I do. Yeah. Sorry, I kind of went off on a tangent there, but yeah.
That sounds like incredibly healthy to be able to channel that.
Yeah, it is. I mean, before I was like putting out music, I was like kind of like when I was like 10, 11, 12, so I was like a little serious. Like I didn't really talk that much. I was kind of like just like a little like sad little man, like a little young little sad guy. And then I started doing music and like creating shit, and I realized that it makes me like actually 1,000% happier to like be like super emotional for just the time that I'm making it. I don't even need to be like super emotional. I'm just talking about shit that I've felt for a while and I put it into a song, and then after that I don't even think about it. I'm completely fine. Like I'm like a pretty happy upbeat person once I do the songs.
If you're channeling all that stuff while you're writing, in the moment itself, when you're sitting there writing it, is that actually enjoyable? Is that fun for you?
It depends on the song. All Dogs Go to Heaven, I was like pretty like, for the singing it, I was kind of like choked up. I was kind of sad. But looking back, like it's the actual recording of the song, I kind of like go into a completely different zone. I'm not even thinking about like anything other than finishing this song. My favorite part about making music is like listening to it after it's been made. So for the, sorry, I keep talking about All Dogs Go to Heaven, the outro track. I was in there for like 2.5 hours making that song start to finish. Made it all in one night. I'm not exactly a fast recorder, so I'll sit in there for hours, record all the layers, record everything. I recorded all myself. So I just had the guitar. I played it for like the people that were there. I think Zach was there, Zach Greer, a producer named Kim J, who is also did production on it. And then there's this company called Overcast who does YouTube video, like music videos. And they were all there. They were just there because they're like my friends and they're friends with everybody there. So they were there and I played the song, and just watching them like react to it was like my favorite part of recording that. It was like watching them feel the same way I felt about it. And I was super happy with that, yeah.
In the Gen F that we ran, Colin, who did the interview, asked you about how your mum feels about some of these songs. Because that was on Cypress Grove, but it was like how, there's some pretty dark stuff in here. And that she understood your explanation when you were like, what you just said to me. Like, I'm putting the dark stuff in there and it makes me happy. Like, how was she on this record? How was she on All Dogs? Like, I want to slam my head against the wall. It's a pretty, like, it's an upbeat sounding song, but like, you just read the lyrics cold and you're like, oh, wow. Is she totally cool with it now?
Yeah, she really likes a lot of these. Her favorite song is Stephanie, I think. I need to know I am happy alone. I need to know you kick me when I'm low. And I need to know I need freedom and ecstasy. I need a picture of you when you were next to me. I need an exo that ain't dead to me. I need you both dead, you and Stephanie. Hey, freedom and ecstasy. To be fair, that's like a song that I would not, lyric wise, I would not expect her to like it very much, because it's like pretty like aggressive again. But yeah, she gets it. She gets the vibe. She understands that like, as long as I can do music, this is actually a story I don't think I've ever talked about before. But when I was like, I think this was Cypress Grove recording time, most of the songs in Cypress Grove that weren't already out, which is like the 2009 D&D, they were all made in like 4 days before the project came out. I was like working like really hard and making really cool shit for like 4 days, and I was so tired. So this was the third day where I had 4 sessions in a row. This was the third day. My like XLR cord broke, which is what you use to like connect a microphone to an interface. And I was like, I told my mom that we need to go get it. It was like, it was like 9 o'clock at night. I was like, we need to go get this right now. And I think that's when she realized, like I just am immensely more happy when I like make music and like record it. And then, cause I was like, dude, I was, we need to go get this right now. I was like crying. I was like, we need to go get this XLR cord right now. I was like so upset, and she got it. And that's I think was the first time she realized like how much like music meant to me and how like much I put into it, so I can be just like a pretty happy-go-lucky guy the rest of the time.
How's that worked with other people in your life? Obviously, you've found a new community now and you're meeting new people all the time, and lockdowns are sort of ending and you're able to travel a bit. But what's it like back in Hendersonville? You had to go back to school for a few days in Hendersonville, right? How was that?
Yeah. Sadly, I'm going back in 6 days as well. My school starts again. It's no joke, man. Yeah, I did go back to school for a little bit prior. People are really cool. I go to like a school where you have to like test into it. You have to have a certain test score to get into the school. So most people there, they don't give a fuck. They're like, I'm going to go to college. They want to be like doctors and shit. I'm like, fuck no. So they're all cool. I went back to like my actual, like the public high school that I would have gone to if I didn't do the test and shit. They were like going crazy. They were fucking with it. That was a cool one. But like the school I actually go to, they could give less of a fuck. They're like, okay. I get a few weird stares. Somebody asked me for a picture in the bathroom one time. But like other than that, kids are pretty cool. They're cool about it. They know that it exists. They're like, cool, good for him. But like, yeah, I don't know, but we'll see. I go back soon. When I went, I didn't have any tattoos, and now I have two. So we'll see.
That's nice, because you sort of expect that, especially when you're young, that like people's attitudes towards you will change. There'll be like some fake people around you, some like hangers-on, but you've kind of avoided that.
Yeah, there's definitely people like that, but I just don't talk to them. I don't, like, it's very easy to fall into the trap of, like, you have, like, four people with you, or, like, five, six, seven, especially if you get to be, like, a huge rapper, like, you'll have, like, 50 people just following you around all the time. You have to pay for everything they do. I just don't want to do that. So if somebody's, like, trying to, like, enter my life and do that, I'm, like, I'm good. We can hang out at school, but other than that, I'm good. So I've definitely tried to avoid that as much as possible, and it's been going well so far.
You were saying before about like you know you're an outgoing, like pretty upbeat person. Music can sometimes be a reflection of a different side of you. How important is it to, you know, you obviously put a lot of, you and a lot of other people put a lot of work into your videos. Like your social media is like, you're active in like a lot of different ways, some of which are public, some aren't. How important is it for you to try and curate that properly? Like, is music, obviously music's your main focus, but it's not the only focus, right? It needs to be an experience that's a little bit more rounded.
Yeah. So at first I didn't really realize that. Like when you get into like music as like a musician and you don't know anything, you just like music and you have no like industry, like people, I don't know anybody that's part of the music industry. Like when I first started, I just met them through music. So at first I didn't realize that. I was like, just make music, like I don't understand what the video portion is. But so at first all the videos were just like, I was like, I like nature, so let's just do it in nature. So that was the first idea. But now recently I've done everything myself. I'm a big fan of clothes, and I realized that if I make cool clothes for merch, then I get it for free. This blew my mind. I've done 3 merch drops. I did a crew neck, which is like just a Cypress Grove on it. I did a hoodie. The hoodie is just my writing all over the hoodie. And that was cool. Was a really big fan of that. And then the next stuff I have coming, I'm so excited for it. Honestly, I don't give a flying fuck if nobody else likes it. I'm so excited for it because I like did everything for it. Every single piece of it is done by me. So I'm like, I'm just excited because I get to wear it, to be honest. But that's like it's a good indication of like, that's how I feel kind of about everything. It's like, I just do it for myself because I think that stuff is cool. And so far, people have been agreeing that I haven't really done anything that's kind of like dumb. I don't think, because I've done everything just the way I like it. And everyone else has been like, that's cool. So I'm happy with it.
Is there anything about being a professional, effectively full-time musician? I know you're at school as well, you're about to be, but is there anything about it that you've not enjoyed so far?
I don't like going to parties. I think they're just not fun. You just kind of stand there and listen to music loud. Like I could do that in my house. That's not like, that's like a personal thing though. You don't have to go to parties. The only time I ever went to a party was because Zach Bia was like, I want you to perform your song. So like, fuck, I'll go. I was having a good time. He was playing some bangers, but I could definitely see like if I went to just a random party every day, I would not be having fun. Other than that, I mean, obviously there's some kind of weird people that are like, hey, hi, nice to meet you. I'm like, okay, I don't know you. But other than that, I mean, I'm having a blast. I have a good time with it. There's nothing where I'm like, this shit sucks. I'm just like, I'm having fun.
That's awesome. Obviously, there's a huge wave behind All Dogs Go to Heaven. Are you allowed to talk about what you've got coming with Eric?
I think so. I've talked about it before, so hopefully. Me and Eric DOA have like a EP album. I don't really know what it is, but we have a body of work that is very, very special to me. It's been a long time coming. I think we recorded the first song like January 2nd, and it's just now like almost done. So it's been a long time coming. I love that guy, so I'm excited for that.
And then you got to go back to school.
I do. So I go back to school on the 16th. I get back from LA on the 14th, I think. So I get back, I have a day, and then I go back to school. So the funny thing would be is I have this video coming out with a very wonderful video company called Lyrical Lemonade. They are just super amazing guys. And if this happens how it's supposed to happen, the video comes out on my first day back at school. So I think that's pretty funny. I'm like, I'm going to be in the middle of like math class with the Lyrical Lemonade video coming out. So I'm excited for that. Hopefully, we have no idea what that happens. But that's like what's next. School, shows and stuff. Lyrical Lemonade Festival is coming up soon. It's like, it's called Summer Smash. It's going to be super fun. I'm going to perform all the songs, All Does Go to Heaven. I'm going to have a blast. I'm super excited. We have a thing called MoMA PS1. It's like in New York. Me and Eric are doing that. It's going to be a blast. We've been practicing a lot recently for it. And I can tell you, just all the stuff that I have coming is super sick. And I've never been more excited about anything. So I'm excited.
Have you thought a lot about what you want your stage show to look like now that you've done a couple?
This is the funny thing. Right before this and after this, we're doing the visuals for a festival right now. I was trying to get like All Dogs Go to Heaven like text written out. This is backwards. You can't see it because it's audio, but there's like, we were just working on it. I have a fuck ton of doodles that we're trying. So I've been working pretty damn hard on the visuals today. We're going to try to get that wrapped up, but I've definitely been like, I'm just trying to make everything that's around my music super cool. I feel like I've used the word tasteful a lot in this interview, but like tasteful and just super like shit that is like cool to me. And then hopefully other people like it. That's what I've been trying to do. Definitely.
Awesome. All right, Ash, I'm going to let you go. Actually, is there one song from All Dogs that you would like to play the podcast out with?
Huh. I don't know. My favorite song on the project is 1984. I'd be down for that one. I love that song.
Thank you so much, Ash. I really appreciate your time, mate. And I'm really excited to see what comes next.
Thank you so freaking much for your time. It's been wonderful. It's been wonderful.
We're both crazy, but one of us is good at hiding it. But for right now, I'm fucking out of shit. And I fell in love with the finest things. The food, wine, and drink. I still wasn't lying when I said that you meant everything to me. But I guess everything means nothing when you lie through your teeth. And all those nothings, they meant everything when you lie.
That was Glaive in conversation with The Fader. Glaive's new EP, All Dogs Go to Heaven, is out now via Interscope. Our engineer is Tony Giambroni, and our associate producer is Salvatore Mackey. We'd like to thank Lauten Audio for providing our microphones. You can find them online at lautenaudio.com. And we'd like to thank James Ivy for providing our intro music. Remember to follow The Fader interview wherever you listen to podcasts, and keep an eye on thefader.com for essential music news, interviews, and essays. We'll be back next week with another episode of The Fader Interview. Goodbye until then.